You're listening to your terrible podcast.
Hey, podcast.
You are listening to your podcast.
You are listening to the Tableau podcast. Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Tableau podcast. Are you, like, enjoying the podcast? Because if you're not, like, what's the point? Might as well just quit. So I'm saying that if you guys aren't listening, or if you don't need this, let me know. Because I'm a quit. All right, what a great way to start the podcast. So today, our producer Diane here was like, yo, let's talk about some things that I saw on Twitter.
I feel like that really is the majority of my conversations.
Yeah,
sometimes.
She's like, hey, did you see that thing on Twitter? She actually, like, a while back, she asked me to do the whole, like, hashtag me at 20.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah.
Remember, Diane? You were like, you should do the me at 20 thing. Because that's what Diane's, like, job is. She, like, lets me know. Like, she tells me, like, what trends to jump on.
But anyways, you said it much nicer than I did.
Yeah, she's like, you should do the me at 20 thing. And unfortunately, I was somewhere where I couldn't get the me at 20 pictures. And I have them now, but it's like too late. I can't just post it now and be like me at 20. And they're like, dude, that was like 20 years ago. That hashtag thing is over. It's not trending anymore, Tableau.
And it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was. And I do have some pictures from like when I was 20. I actually found a bunch of pictures at my house, obviously.
Not just outside on the corner, discarded by someone on a rush.
I didn't find it like in the ground somewhere. Like, okay, but…
What was the weirdest thing you've ever found just like out on the street?
Well, money.
Oh, that's not weird. Weird.
That's awesome, actually.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing?
Yeah.
Well, I actually don't want to say it because it was also the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Pretty messed up.
For me, I was walking to a friend's apartment to the East Village at 1 a.m. with another friend.
Mm-hmm.
And blocking the entire sidewalk was a mountain of abandoned VHS tapes that weren't marked.
That's pretty cool.
So we took one.
Did you play it?
We had to figure out, so, no, you know, at this point, no one really owned a VHS tape, just willy-nilly.
I like the beginning of this movie. Anyways.
What? Oh, okay. Yes. So
mining for ideas here. Okay.
So
you took the videotape.
So we took it and we're like, we'll figure it out. We're filming TV kids. Like, someone will have a VHS tapes.
Yeah.
Or a player. And so we kept it, and it was kind of like a joke. Like, oh man, like we hope it's not like a movie. We hope it's like a home video, because even though it's kind of very voyeuristic and creepy, but
that's… You do? You actually hope that it was a home video? Wouldn't that…
Because
like,
it's…
What like, if it was some… It was like something weird.
Well, that… Yeah.
Okay.
We're like, man, are we going to like stumble upon like a crime to solve?
So did you play it?
So we… NYU has a VHS player because they have a screening room.
Because the hipsters.
Well, we have…
I'm kidding.
We have a not updated screening room. Like, okay. That's as big as this room that we're recording in.
Okay.
And they had it. So we literally spent like… We had to like reserve a time slot. And we all like gathered a bunch of friends.
And you played it.
Yeah. And I don't remember what was playing. I just remembered going what? In… I remember going into the room.
What is the… How,
I have to text my friend Jean and ask her.
How can you end a story like this, Diane?
Do you remember
what was… Diane. That? Are you kidding me? You told me the whole story but you forgot what was on… What you saw?
It must have not been that impressive because…
Well, here's what I'm going to do.
I don't remember.
Here's what I'm going to do.
I just asked my friend to remind
me. I'm going to make up what happened. Okay. What you saw.
Okay.
So you played it. And this guy is dressed up as like the Easter Bunny.
Okay,
it's a home video.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, what the? And you and your friends are like, you know, you guys are like, this is going some places that I'm not ready to go. Right? And the guy's dressed up as an Easter Bunny. And then a crime happens. A horrible crime happens. And this is all shot on VHS. And this is how our movie starts. But since I came up with the Easter Bunny thing, it's my story now.
Wait, ma'am.
Just letting you know, it's mine. At least half of it.
Yeah. It was just, it was literally just there.
Did you text your friend?
Yeah, I texted my friend. She lives in Moscow, so hopefully the time difference isn't crazy.
Yo, I think…
Oh, it's 5 a.m. She's definitely
dude,
asleep.
Dude, that was a pretty big flex.
What?
My friend, like, lives in Moscow. But
she's Russian. Zhanna
Kugalkova. I mean, that's obvious, but yeah. You're like… You know, we're in Seoul, and you're like texting your friend, but you're like… Casually just saying like nonchalantly like she lives in Moscow, so it's gonna she might not be up yet, but it was very like
was that a flex about me?
It was very
you have New York Mike
flexy. I mean New York Mike.
Yeah.
I mean New York,
me and her met in New York.
Every part of the name New York and Mike is very like, you know, there's like a billion of those.
He sounds like a pizza parlor.
A bunch of people have a friend in New York named Mike. Okay? But a friend named… What was her name?
Zhanna Kugatova.
Can you stop?
Her name… She's Russian. Zhanna.
Okay, so I have a friend… I had a high school friend named Daniel Sharani. Who is from Hungary.
Oh, that's cool.
There you go.
Yeah, I had a lot… I know a lot of Eastern European… people because of…
Well, so do I.
Yeah, the neighborhood I was used to live in high school.
All right. are we done with the flexing now?
Flex.
Okay, what did you… Like, what was something that you wanted to talk about that you saw on Twitter?
Well, So this is the thing I always see. I always see people trending like their personal top lists for whatever it may be. And I always usually pretty strongly disagree with a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
But I never participate because I think it's like… No one actually asked.
You just like the look.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the hashtag for this instance is 5 perfect movies. As in, no flaws. It is the perfect movie. And so people are listing right now think are perfect movies.
Here's what I'll say like off the bat. There's no such thing as a perfect movie. Because the imperfections are sometimes what make… the film perfect or seem perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's the imperfections that are important. Because for you to have a perfect film, it would have to be a perfect near perfect representation of reality, right? Or surreality. Mm-hmm. But it would have to seem real enough for you to, you know, most great movies seem very real. And to do that, it has to be imperfect by nature because reality and human beings and life itself is actually made up of a bunch of imperfections. That's the human condition. And any great film must encapsulate the human condition. Hence, it must be an imperfect film for it to be perfect. Done. Mic drop. I'm out of here. I quit.
Wait.
I'm done. I've accomplished everything.
Wait, is this how you've resigned from every job you've ever had?
Pretty much.
You just talk about what makes a perfect movie. And
pretty
then you're
much.
Like, and that's why I'm no longer working at Starbucks.
Okay, since I said that, and let's get that out of the way. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I sounded knowledgeable enough. Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah.
And let's try to name 5 perfect movies.
Okay, let's do our list or your list.
Don't tell
before.
Me their list yet.
Okay, got it.
I'll say something. Let's do Family Feud kind of style. I'll say something and if it's on that list, let me know.
Well, I mean it's multiple people. But
Parasite.
Yeah. That's on someone's list, of course.
Okay, I'm done.
Wait.
What films do you think are… I thought Get Out was perfect.
Yeah, Get Out is pretty perfect.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done. Good Will Hunting.
Okay.
I thought the script was perfect. The because…
The
script? I thought the script…
Is Zhanna here?
Was perfect.
Parfait?
Parfait.
It's parfait?
Yes, I thought the script
with,
was parfait.
With assertive middle.
I really like that script because… I actually read the script before the film came out. It was uploaded online somewhere. And I was mesmerized by how every scene in the film is a very well-crafted scene, first of all. And, you know, it was done like a play. You know, no scene was really wasted. Like, actually, there were some scenes that were unnecessary, honestly. But minus those, it was a perfect film.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Godfather 2, obviously.
Yeah, a lot of people are naming The Godfather.
Happy
Godfather
Gilmore.
Too. I'm seeing a lot of Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption? All right.
Really? Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Shawshank Redemption was great, except… I'm just shocked by how many people like actually thought Shawshank Redemption was based on a true story.
Oh. Yeah, what gave that impression? Did someone just say it and then everyone believed it?
Yeah, I think someone just said it at like in some theater. Like
in the middle of the movie?
No, as soon as like…
this is based on real life!
Like, as soon as the movie's like starting, right? Somebody just blurted out like, this is based on a true story! And people are like, this is based on a true story. It was written by Stephen King.
Mm.
I think it's based off a short story that Stephen King wrote. But it was a pretty, you know, solid film.
A lot of Forrest Gump.
Unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
And honestly, so when like that whole like Forrest Gump, you know, winning all the awards and stuff.
Yeah.
Then I got to see it. I don't know. I can point out some imperfections in the film.
That don't serve it to be
I don't.
A
I wouldn't say
movie.
That it's a perfect film. I think it's a good film.
2001 Space Odyssey.
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. Okay, here's the thing. Man, Stanley Kubrick kind of let me down.
Like as a person, yes. Or no. As like,
a person.
As a, yeah.
See, I don't really like to subscribe to like… I like to separate the artist from the art.
Yeah.
Right? But here's the thing. So I was on a drive with my wife. And we were doing the top three greatest filmmakers of all time.
Mm.
My wife and I like just…
Well, she's literally an actor, so…
Yeah, but she admits that I like films more. And she likes music more, I think. Maybe we should switch. But anyways, we're driving. She was driving. I don't know how to drive. So she was driving and I was sitting next to her and we were going and trying to name like three greatest filmmakers of all time. And I name dropped Kubrick, of course, because he was always in my top three. We get home after the drive. We turn on the TV. And there's this show on like Korean networks called Surprise. And it's like a show where they like do strange facts or things that you didn't know. And they act it out. It's done horribly, which makes it so endearing.
Okay.
The acting is just… It's like the director of that show. He just like goes with the first take no matter what. Like they will totally mess up the lines.
Yeah.
Like you won't even know what they're saying and it'll just go. But anyways, we turn on the TV and oh my God. Like it's about Stanley Kubrick. So I'm like, oh my God. I just mentioned Stanley Kubrick today and they're talking about Stanley Kubrick today. And it was about how Kubrick abused the hell out of like psychologically abused the hell out of his…
Actors?
Well, the actress in The Shining.
Mm, yeah.
You know, did like horrible mental games with her to put her in that position. And then she eventually, you know, lost her mind. Like,
yeah.
In reality. And I don't know. Like, I can't say if this is true or not. But this happened literally the day… I mentioned Kubrick in my top three.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, Kubrick's not in my top three anymore.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm an artist and I believe that the art should be separated from the artist. Because, you know… But should it? I don't know. It's a question that like… people are always fighting about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, can we separate the two? Or should we separate the two? I'd like to, but sometimes it's just hard.
Yeah. I'm also just like, you know what? There's other great artists who didn't do that.
Yeah.
That we can talk about and give attention to.
Yeah.
So there's a plethora.
Yeah. Yo, I would say Schindler's List.
Yeah. I definitely saw that on here too.
Okay. Schindler's List is… You know, you can just see that it's a work of passion from the artist, you know? I have a film that I'm going to just blurt out that's going to beat them all. If we're talking about perfect here, John Wick. Prove me wrong, internet.
Really?
What do you mean, really?
John Wick?
Have you seen John Wick 1?
I haven't seen any John Wick.
You haven't seen anything then. You haven't seen any films. You don't know cinema.
Well, it's a relatively recent film, right?
Does it matter?
24. No.
John Wick could have come out yesterday or 1,000 years ago. It would still be a perfect film.
So it's a guy…
John Wick.
Who gets vengeance for the killing of the dog given to him by his recently deceased wife.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happens. John Wick.
So it's a vengeance film.
Dude. I think it should have its own genre. Called John Wick.
John Wicka Wicka Wicka.
No, it's seriously the greatest film.
John Wick
film. Ever made.
Really?
By man. I'm not kidding. I am not like being ironic.
No, I know people really loved it. I do remember like people talking about like what a great film it was and how like they were disappointed it didn't get as much attention.
I wouldn't care if everyone hated it.
Oh my gosh.
I would still be here saying John Wick.
John Wick.
Perfect film.
What's your favorite scene from that movie?
Every scene.
Oh my goodness.
Didn't I just say it's perfect? John Wick. Diane, can you name me some of the titles that people were discussing on Twitter, though.
Yeah.
I mean, give me something to like disagree with here.
Well, I saw one I quickly disagreed with.
What?
Interstellar. Interstellar?
Really? You disagreed with that?
As a perfect movie? It could be a good movie for people, but it's not…
Wait. I'm thinking something else. Oh, you're talking about the…
The Matthew McConaughey film.
Yeah, where
he puts his hand through the fifth dimension or whatever.
You know, that film was hugely popular in Korea, mega popular. And actually, when I was in LA earlier this year, working on some music, we got home and Two Cuts was like, "Let's watch a movie," and I was like, "Okay," and he's like, "Let's watch Interstellar," and I was like, "We saw that like a while back already." And he's like, "I want to see it again for some reason." And we watched it. And, you know, it was brought up on the Tableau podcast once because of Matt Damon, you know, betraying everybody. Remember, like, Eddie was telling us, like, some story about, like, waves on his honeymoon.
Yeah.
And I was like, Matt Damon. Anyways, yeah, I would not say that that's a perfect film. If we're going to talk about, like, a perfect film from that director, it would probably… I would side with like Memento.
I was thinking Memento.
Yeah, Memento or The Dark Knight.
Yeah. Those are his two like most iconic, no?
Yeah. I would even place the Dream one. What was the Dream movie?
Inception?
Yeah, I would place Inception over…
Oh, 100%. And I still have problems with Inception. I think Inception and Interstellar have the same problem for me.
Why?
Which is making people like…
I love…
How do I say
Inception.
This in a nice way?
You say it with a nice voice.
Okay. So I think that what it did a interesting job of is making people who want to feel smart by making them feel dumb for not getting something that was never meant to be understood because it actually doesn't make sense.
Okay. If I didn't understand what you just said, does that make me dumb?
No, it makes it apparently me a great movie.
Ooh. I see what you're kind of saying. I see what you're saying, that it's convoluted for to be convoluted.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Well, I don't know. I didn't really feel that with Inception. I just really liked the idea of, you know, the…
Dreamscaping or whatever it's called.
Yeah, like traveling within dreams. I thought that was really cool. He has a new film coming out that I'm sure is going to do exactly what you just said. What you had
like
a problem
and
with.
The way Interstellar kind of basically
yeah,
did
I
as
think
well.
It's about alternate realities and one reality going backwards through time.
Yeah.
And one reality like going forward, like our time. And the two at war. I think that's what the film's going to be about, judging from the trailer.
That's what Christopher Nolan looks like. I forgot what he looked
like. What's the name of the new film that he's dropping?
I'm looking it up right now. I don't see much. Oh, Tenet?
Yeah, Tenet.
Oh, okay. Tenet.
So I think that's what the Not film David. Is going to be. Okay, wait. My daughter is FaceTiming me like crazy. Let's just check out what she has to say. Like,
okay.
Obviously, it's something important.
Yes.
All right.
She's not answering or…
Okay, she must have found a solution from someone else.
Oh, is it like… Does she call you if she has like a question or a problem?
No, she just calls me for like… Pretty much anything.
Oh, she didn't answer.
Yeah, and I'm like… Sometimes I'll be in a meeting and I'll be like… I'm really sorry. Is it important? And she's like… She thinks and she's like… It's not important.
And then you're like, that's chill, let's talk.
I'm like, thank God it's not important. Okay, what do you have to say?
You're like, legs are kicking in the air.
I'm like, it's not important. I love talking about things that are not important. What other perfect films?
I don't know. Because even the films I love… I can understand like issues people would have with it.
See, that's what I'm saying. Those imperfections make it perfect.
Yeah.
It's like trying to describe a perfect song. Doesn't yeah. exist. Right?
Yeah.
And the reason why it doesn't exist is… Okay. Since I'm a musician. Like… Okay. When I'm making a song. Right? I'll make a song and… Let's say I come up with a melody that I know people are gonna love. Because like I feel like it's objectively a very good melody, right? And that usually will become the hook, right? And because it's such a good melody, let's say like it came out of me and I was like, oh my God, this is a perfect, near perfect melody. I will be tempted to use it as many times on the song as possible, right? Which will make the song like 3-4 minutes. And maybe the hook comes out like 4 or 5 times, right? But… Most often what I'll do is I'll actually not do that, right? And I'll try to limit it or I'll just not have the hook repeat at the end and I'll just go to something else, right? And someone will be like, hey, dude, shouldn't you just repeat the hook at the end or have it come out like, you know, a couple times at the end because it's such a good melody? And may say that me going in a different direction at the end of the song… Is taking it in an imperfect direction, right? Mm-hmm. Or it could have been better if I just stuck to the formula. But a lot of other people will be like, it would have been so good if you didn't stick to this formula. Because it feels kind of repetitive or redundant or like overused, right? And people are going to disagree, right? But it's up to the artist to make that decision, to take that leap of faith. And willingly do something knowing that some people are going to be opposed to it, right? So you're deliberately doing something imperfect, but it may actually be the thing that turned that song into something that's near perfect. Is what I, you know, that's what I was trying to say at the beginning.
Yeah.
And if for example, if a song came out or a film came out and literally 100% of all people on earth agreed that it was great mm-hmm. in the exact same way, would you like it?
No.
Right? If you were the last person to see the film, but every single person in the world except you, Diane, has seen the film and all agree that it's a great film and they love it in the exact same way. I would not like it even before seeing it.
Well, that's why I don't watch a lot of things when I feel like everyone's recommending it to me.
Yeah.
I like weirdly, I mean, it's ironic because we've obviously done it or you've done it on this podcast, but I don't like it when people recommend me things because it's too much like burden. Because I'm like, oh, damn. Like, now I feel like I'm not going to like it. And I can't have that conversation with this person being like, oh, like, did you like it?
Yeah, that's what I go through during like awards season, right? Yeah. Like when like the media is telling me what I like, what I need to have seen or need to have read or whatever. Like when it's awards or heard, right? I feel too much pressure to agree that it ruins the film experience for me. It just ruins the experience. I like to go in cold, you know, and then decide for myself whether or not I like it. So when there's like a consensus that everyone likes it or that it's a perfect work of art, I will deliberately wait. And sometimes I'll just forget to watch it like altogether, like La La Land.
Oh my God, that's literally, oh my God, I don't know why I'm so excited.
I've never seen it.
Me neither.
Yeah. And
because based on what people are saying they liked about it, yeah. I was like, well, I wouldn't like a movie for this. So I'm not going to watch it.
At some point, at one point I told you, I actually pretended that I had seen it so that people would stop telling me to see it.
Oh my gosh.
Because everyone was raving about it. And at the time, and Mithra was one of them. Mithra was like totally, totally raving about it.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't, like, I was like, okay, well, if I don't love it as much as these people want me to, like, does that make me wrong or does that make them wrong? Like, do I have to even think about this? And I was like, I'll just put it off. And I kept putting it off and I just forgot to see it.
Yeah.
One movie that I'll add to the perfect list, though, is by the director that made La La Land, is Whiplash.
Yeah.
And I like this film so much that I actually rented out the entire theater once. And I invited a bunch of people that… I used to have a radio show and I invited a ton of people. And they came and we watched it together. Because I really liked this film. And I wanted it to do well. And at the time, at first, when I was renting out the theater, it hadn't gotten big yet in Korea, and eventually it did. But yeah, that film was excellent.
Yeah,
I like films. Okay, so of course, you know, there are films like Godfather that are like, you know, huge.
Like extraordinary circumstances.
Yeah. And like a huge time period and like showing, you know, like a huge chunk of the world, right? But a lot of the films that I have on my like top whatever lists, they work with very confined spaces or confined situations. And that's what Whiplash did really well. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it didn't delve into like, you know, this kid's childhood and like it didn't delve into like the professor's like early days or anything like that. It just stuck to this situation and this passion and this madness and the interaction between the two over a short period of time, right? And also just stuck to that. And that's what I loved about it.
Hmm.
It didn't try to do too much. And ironically, paradoxically, it just did more because it didn't try to do too much. Other films like that I really liked. I'm trying to think here. Wong Kar-wai's Chungking Express. I loved that when I was a kid. I thought it showed Hong Kong, like just enough of Hong Kong to make, you know, the film work.
Mm-hmm.
What other films?
I really liked. This is weird, but it's literally because I grew up watching The Simpsons,
mm-hmm.
and you know, shows like The Simpsons obviously reference a lot of things from entertainment and yeah. Hollywood or whatever.
A lot of films.
One of my favorite episodes of The Simpsons of all time is the forgot the name of the episode, but it's the Rear Window parody when Bart breaks his leg trying to dive into a summer pool. And he's confined to a wheelchair and he thinks he sees Ned Flanders murder his wife.
Okay, and this is a parody of what?
Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window.
Oh.
And therefore, because I was a kid and I found out listening to commentary.
So you went back and saw
it. I was like, I want to watch Rear Window and see like how much of the episode aligns with it. Uh-huh. And I remember really liking the movie.
Uh-huh.
And watching, trying to watch some Hitchcock things. But that was my favorite Hitchcock.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the… my favorite Hitchcock films… probably Psycho, right?
Yeah.
I mean… some people would place that on their top… like perfect film list. Probably. Another one… is… do you know Rushmore?
By…
Wes Anderson?
Yes.
I really like that film. And see… sometimes… it's enough that you just really like the film to make it perfect for you.
How basically. About this? What's the perfect bad film? Like bad as in, you know, like would be mainstream conceived as like not quality, but you're just like, I freaking love it. Cause I don't necessarily have a movie example, but I have a type of movie in my head that I like love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like unofficial, like poorly made documentaries.
You know like comedy movies from like the early… like late 90s, early 2000s?
Like a lot of like Adam Sandler movies?
Well, you know, or Jim Carrey movies.
Oh, yeah,
or
yeah,
like
yeah.
Even action films that were like kind of comic action that did really well back then.
Yeah.
If you see them now, it's crazy. Like how… bad some of these films were.
Yeah.
Right? But they somehow became huge like at the time. But if you watch it now, like some of the stuff in there also, like the content, you're just not okay with.
Austin Powers.
You know, just seeing it now. But
Spaceballs.
well, Spaceballs and Austin Powers was like deliberately trying to…
campy and like…
yeah, yeah. Trying to make campy films, right? And that's why they were popular. But like some of these films intended to be very serious.
Mm.
And like very well done. And it just didn't work out. And there's a lot of those films. Like late 90s, early 2000s.
Examples?
True Lies.
True Lies.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger
movies. Yeah,
he's
like a hero in a film, but he walks out into real life.
Yeah.
I think that's what…
oh, yeah.
Okay. So this was on TV at some point.
James Cameron.
It was by James Cameron?
Oh, it sure was.
Okay. I saw this, like it was on TV at some point and I saw it and I was like, oh my God, how did this film like… how did I like this film? Like… there's a lot going on here that's just… is not that good. But here's the thing. It was… I heard it generated like the most amount of… box office like… of the decade or something.
I'm looking at it. It made… in USD, it made $378.9 million.
Oh my gosh. Well, on the topic of James Cameron… Terminator 2, I think, is the perfect action sci-fi. I think it was just exceptionally done.
Was Terminator the one that was sold for a dollar or something by the screenwriter?
The script?
Or James Cameron?
Really?
Because, was it not you who told me this? The first Terminator, James Cameron wanted to direct it so bad. But the studio was like, no, we need a more famous director. Like, we'll buy the script from you. And he was like, I will literally sell the script as the writer for a dollar if you let me direct it.
It might have been Tableau-1.
Oh my god, I thought you were glitching.
I'm Tableau-3.
Cameron Terminator. Or was that Indiana Jones? No, it was Terminator.
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, I would say, is a perfect film. Okay, for me. I loved it. The whole father-son relationship.
Oh yeah, I'm correct. James Cameron sold rights to Terminator, the rights, for $1.
And he got to direct. That made his career.
No, yeah, but he literally says that's one of my biggest regrets in life.
Probably, yeah. Well, you know, he probably doesn't regret things too much. He did Titanic and…
Yeah, that's true. Avatar.
If he's regretting that, or he has any regrets at all, he wouldn't be like planning Avatar 15.
Yeah.
You know?
Jeez.
Avatar was a horrible film for me.
And that's a movie, because everyone's talking about it, I refuse to watch.
No,
and to this day, I have not watched it.
Dude, I don't care if like I'm, you know, if some people are like hate me for this, but…
I think it's a common consensus now, in hindsight.
Okay,
like,
I hated that film. Like, everybody was like, yo, have you seen it? Like, by everybody, I mean Mithra and Tukas. They're like, yo, Avatar 봤어? Avatar? And I'm like, no. And they're like, Avatar. We have to go see Avatar. And I was like, why? And he's like, so good. You gotta see Avatar. 보러 가자, 보러 가자. And I'm like, how do you know it's so good if you haven't seen it? And they're like, they say it's so good. It's doing, like, it's like the biggest film right now. So we went to go see it. And right off the bat, I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to enjoy this. Because first of all, I thought, you know, too much of it was from like Princess Mononoke. Like just inspired by anime. Which is fine. Matrix was the same way. But I also felt like the CG wasn't ready. Like,
even though that was like the whole point of why people thought it was so amazing, the CG.
You know, the whole like Uncanny Valley thing. Like, I just didn't feel like… I couldn't like identify really.
Mm-hmm.
As these characters being real. Which really got in the way of my viewing experience. And also, I just didn't like the film. Okay?
It's a bad movie.
I didn't like it. And I don't understand how it's possible. Oh, that's why… You know that SNL skit that Ryan Gosling did about the Avatar logo? Have you seen that?
Oh, Papyrus.
Okay, that was like one of the best SNL skits.
That's a really good skit.
And that's why I love that skit. Because I was like, finally.
someone
realizes that logo… You know, it looks kind of half-assed.
Papyrus.
Yeah, it's papyrus.
It's like up there.
It's like Comic Sans.
Yes. Yes.
You know, Sans. Like… Anyways, but it still did huge. So, I guess anything James Cameron touches just turns into Avatar.
That's the deal he made when he sold his script, his soul / script for $1.
Yeah.
They were like, okay, you lose on this. And you'll win for the rest of your life.
You're gonna be making Avatar 14, 30 years from now, 40 years from now. And he's like, what the hell?
Or, yeah, it's like a devil's wish.
Yeah.
You know, it is always like a, you get what you want, quote unquote, but you're punished for it.
But Terminator 2, I would say, is like his near perfect film.
Yeah.
Alien 2.
Mm.
Wait, that's not James Cameron. That's Ridley Scott, right?
Oh, yeah. It's Ridley Scott.
Okay. Titanic. You know how much of a sensation it was, right?
Oh, my mom.
Okay.
She loved her DiCaprio.
But a lot of people had problems with it. Well, with me. For having a problem with it.
Yeah.
Because I actually wrote on like the school… Like on the chalkboard. I was like… Wasn't the raft or the debris
big enough
for the two of them and I wrote that and then someone was like, dummy, the weight of two people would have like sunk it. He was sacrificing so she could stay, so Rose could stay on it. And I was like, then why didn't they take turns?
Or like grab another piece of debris nearby.
Or just take turns, right? Yeah. Because if freezing to death was the problem, wouldn't you just… Why not just take turns? And the girl that said dummy was like… You just don't get it.
You're like… You're so not romantic. This is your high school girlfriend.
You're so unromantic. You suck.
You're saying you wouldn't let me sit on the raft for 13 hours.
My God. See, but that's what I'm saying. But some people probably think Titanic is perfect. If they love it, and that's great. Right? If you love it and you think it's perfect, that's fine. But I'm just saying… I can find like multiple things that are not perfect with it. Like some of the over the top acting. Some of the over the top… like because you had to show the contrast between like the wealthy and Leonardo DiCaprio. Some of the stuff that they had in there to show that was a very cop-out, cliched way to do it. Like the simplest way to do it.
Uh-huh.
You know? There are so many subtle ways to show…
like wealth disparity?
Yeah. Because basically they were trying to show that DiCaprio is the only like non-aristocrat that's on there. Right? But like they turned him into a starving artist.
Yeah.
You know, just…
He looked like he was newsies.
Yeah, like all of these things that they did to show how, you know, different Jack's character was. And also they, you know, the starving artist who is rebellious. And like when he says something, it's like so offensive to everyone else there. Because yeah. They're all like, you know, they're all like proper. But it was done in a so like… in your face way. And also just a very… The easiest way possible. And I don't like films that do that. I want things to be subtle like they are in real life. But regardless of all that, if you still love the film because, you know, it had a kick-ass soundtrack and also it was just entertaining to watch. And also… It's not like I didn't, you know, almost cry.
Yeah, was it…
Despite all this…
Gentlemen, it's been an honor playing with you. Yeah. And you're like, oh, that to me was way more heartbreaking than any other scene.
But even
scene
that
in the
scene, my mind is telling me these guys are… Like James Cameron is literally pulling on our heartstrings.
Yes.
Right? By having the string quartet.
Yeah.
Literally like…
Soundtrack staccato, someone's death.
You know, pizzicato on our heartstrings. He's literally doing this. Right?
Yeah.
And I know that that's happening and it's the Hollywood moment. But despite it, like, I almost cried. So if, you know… So it's okay for films to be imperfect.
You know, I watched that movie not knowing what that movie was. Like, I didn't know what I was watching. It was the only English-speaking channel that was playing when I was at my cousin's house in Busan. When I was like staying there.
And that's how you saw Titanic.
Summer. That was the first time I saw Titanic. And I was like, I just want to watch something English. And it was like the only thing playing. And I was like, I have no idea what this is.
On a tiny like TV.
Yeah, like it was… This was like 2004 or 5. It's like 9 or 10. 2004 or 5. Not knowing at all.
God.
I'd never heard of Titanic. Had no idea what the story was
about.
So no
historical background.
Nothing. I knew nothing.
So you're like…
This was in Korea.
Boats.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a restaurant in Busan that's really popular. And one day I went there and apparently I had been there like when I was like years ago. I had been there. And you know how like a lot of restaurants, Korean restaurants have like the autographs of mm-hmm. celebrities that visited like on the wall?
Yeah, but no picture proof.
Well… Here's the thing. So I sat down to eat and I was like… And someone's like, yo, you don't remember? We came here before. And I was like, we did? I don't remember. And then I look on the wall and I see Mithrajin. Like, so what they had done is they put up all the autograph pieces of like A4 paper. And then they have the name of the the person that signed it. Because you can't readily tell.
Yeah.
Right? So they have Misra and then it's signed by Mithra. It's like, 잘 먹었습니다. Thank you for the food. And then next to it, they have… It says, Tukat. And it has Tukat's autograph with like a message. And then it says… And I'm like, oh, wait, I have been here. And then I look and it's Tableau.
Yeah.
Right? It says Tableau.
Yeah.
I look at the autograph and you know what it says on the piece of paper, the actual paper? It's literally signed Leonardo DiCaprio. Okay? Apparently, for some reason, I had signed…
What?
Instead of my name, I had signed Leonardo DiCaprio in cursive. And it says, Jack's back. As the message.
Wait, so were you drunk?
So this restaurant is a popular spot for like when you have a hangover because it's like the kugi is really good.
Yeah.
So apparently I was pretty drunk. They asked me to like autograph this and I signed it Leonardo DiCaprio and I wrote Jack's back with exclamation marks. As the message. And I'm like looking at it. And the funniest thing though is right under it, they wrote Tableau. So
it just says, man, he was just messing around.
It's like, this guy wrote Leonardo DiCaprio, but it's Tableau, right? And people can see that Tableau did not sign this properly, right? And it's next to Mithra and Tukas, which is like, the most hilarious thing. And I was like, oh my God, I must have been drunk and I must have had Titanic on my mind for some reason. Maybe I was like talking about it, the film with my friends or something. I don't know. But I thought it was just a fun… It's still there. And it's a really popular restaurant. And my autograph is like smack in the middle of all the autographs. You can't avoid it.
My favorite though… Would have been. It would have been so much funnier if like they were the type like in like Koreatown restaurants in LA. They always have photos.
Oh, yo. Another one. Okay, you just reminded me. Do you want to finish your
story? Well, I was just saying it would be funnier if like you know, if it was a camera shot. You know, like the perfect timing for a camera would have been to look at that autograph. And then slowly pan to the photo from that moment. And it's just you just like leaning on the store owner.
Yo, we went to a restaurant in LA. Okay, Korean restaurant. And apparently we had been there. Okay. So there were autographs on the wall. And it says Tableau and it has my normal autograph. Misra. It says Misra. They pasted it. And then it has Mithra's autograph. And then it has Tukas' autograph right next to us, right? But you know what it said for the name? TJ. Because…
No.
I think they were like… So, they got all our autographs. They're like… The boss guy's like… Yeah. 이건 누구야? And he's like… Tableau is right here. And they're like… Misra? Misra is right here.
Yeah,
and they're like… 이건 누구야? It's like… DJ! And they just wrote DJ… DJ.
Man, these kyopos, these out of touch kyopos.
And Tukas was like, Tukas saw it and he's like, story of my life. Story of my
life. It's like DJ, you know, that guy.
That's why he just goes by Tukat now instead of DJ Tukat. Because he's like, maybe this is just too complicated for people. Anyways, so we talked about some perfect films, but here's the thing. It's like trying to have a perfect life. Okay? You can't. And the reason why we all get like totally devastated by all the imperfect moments in life is because sometimes it's because we subscribe to this idea that things can be perfect, right? And because we do, when even with little imperfections or little bumps, we're like, oh my God, my life could be perfect. My life is supposed to be perfect. So this is, you know, this sucks. When it's, for me, I've always thought that life was supposed to be totally imperfect and chaotic. So I actually relish like the moments of near perfection, like, you know, near perfect happiness mm-hmm. when I have it, because I'm like, this is rare.
Yes.
But I've seen so many people just not being able to deal with like even little bad things that happen because they really do subscribe to this idea that a perfect life is possible.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm just letting you know, like, if you're not aware by now, life is not perfect. The world is not perfect and does not function the way we want it to. And if it did, it would be kind of scary. So just remember that. It's just like the idea of a perfect film. It's just not possible. Okay, so let's like relish the imperfections and let's just deal with them.
Yeah.
Is the thesis.
This episode's gonna be called Jack's Back.
I'll see you guys next week.